Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, wherever you are. I hope you're listening, because we're going to have a very revealing show today. As every show is revealing, my co-host, Lori Michelle.
Hello, everyone.
Is going to do most of the show today. We will have interaction, I'm sure, but she'll take you places where you may want to go, you may not want to go. She may take you there, she may not take you there. I can't really tell because I'm never informed beforehand exactly where we're going and what we're doing, because it needs to be spontaneous and it needs to be real and guided. God is always on board. So just before we began, I was going through my Facebook and there was a CNN video about the Pope visiting Auschwitz. And there were 1,300 comments of various dimensions, various grades of intelligence, various religious pronunciations, and my question was, what did it change? Another publicity event? Another thing to do? Did it create or did it change people's minds about anti-Semitism? Did it change people's minds about killing each other? Did it change people's minds about what 6 million stands for, who they are, what the state of Israel means to those 6 million souls and their families, which obviously we are? What did the visit accomplish? Did the Pope bring God into Auschwitz? He looked at the 23 language signs that were spoken at the camp. I tell you the truth, everybody should go. Everybody should see it. I can't go. I can't see it because my parents are survivors, and because I'm second generation, and because I lived that all my life, and nobody can get it and nobody can understand it unless they lived it. I appreciate the fact that the Pope made the trip to go to Auschwitz. In my mind, it means nothing. In my mind, it changed nothing. In my mind, humanity is what it is, and the only thing that is going to change humanity is the coming of Mashiach, the coming of the Messiah. And whenever God is going to decide to send the Messiah, none of us are going to be ready, because really nobody believes that he's ever going to come. After all, the Jewish people are waiting for him 5,000 years. Lori.
Yes.
What do you think?
I think a lot. I think that the Holocaust, if there are many Holocausts going on right now, I just was told by a man who owns the market across the street from where I live that over 300,000 Syrians have died, I believe, in the past year. And the world is silent about it. And it's astonishing.
And long ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, how many hundreds of thousands of people died in Rwanda?
Amazing.
Okay? And nothing. I mean, you know, green teas talked about it.
Yeah.
People talked about it who were, you know, those peaceniks and those 60 people.
Right.
But the rest of the world, well, you know, everybody is going, doing their own stuff.
Well, you came up with a very poignant title to this radio broadcast. Who is God? What does he want from us? And here are his answers. And that's what we need. And that's what my calling is in reaching out to you, Miriam, and reaching out to anybody who will listen. He is real. God is real. A lot of people have lost faith that there really is a God, let alone a Messiah or a Mashiach. And he's ready to speak to us. But we have to listen. We have to be willing to accept what he says.
Well, let me ask you a question right there. 15 years ago, it's already longer. The Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who was known in the whole world as an incredible human being, besides being a Rebbe, and besides being what we call the Nasi Hador, the prince of the generation, meaning an incarnation of what could have been the Mashiach, what could have been the soul of Moses, what could have been the Baal Shem Tov, every generation has, as we know, tzaddikim, sages, holy men, holy women that give immensely to the world. And then he went away.
He was not the Mashiach.
He was not the Mashiach.
What he was he was a precursor and a preparatory of Mashiach.
Okay, if that's the case, and he spent every moment of his life, 24 hours a day, never took a vacation, saw thousands and thousands and thousands of people from all over the world who stood in line for hours to get his dollars, to get his blessings. He gave away millions. He gave away blessings that came true. There are hundreds of
right.
books of his
yes.
blessings that
would you like to know why he was here and what he did and what our role is? And we're not speaking just to the Jewish people today. We're speaking to Christians and Muslims and anybody who's willing to listen, because
we are the voice
of peace. But here's what we need to understand as human beings, is that Messiah, Mashiach, the one, is not the Mashiach or Messiah for only the Jewish people. It's the Mashiach for the world. Because if the world doesn't find peace, there is no peace at all. If we all don't win, if we all don't have peace, there is no peace. Now, the Jewish people are in the 3 weeks of mourning right now, mourning the destruction of the second temple and the first temple.
They were both destroyed.
Mourning
on the same
exile.
Day.
We are in exile, and they are asking Hashem please bring us Mashiach, and please return us to the exalted state of what we're supposed to be in this world. Return us from exile, and let us be the people that we're supposed to be.
Whose people?
The Jewish people.
Whose people? Whose people are the Jewish people?
Okay, do you want to know who the Jewish people are? Very good question. I have answers. Who the Jewish people are, Miriam, what they're supposed to do, and why are Muslim and Christian and all the children of the world should love the Jewish people. The Jewish people, as it has been explained to me by Hashem God, are the root souls of all of humanity. You see, creation, we have to go very far back. We have to go to the beginning of Adam and Eve. You see, God created this world, and he started this world with a man and a woman, not a gorilla. Okay? So the whole idea of evolution is a concealment. It's not true. We don't come from gorillas. We come from a mother and a father. And during the lifetime of Adam and Eve, which spanned maybe about, correct me if I'm wrong, 900 years, something of, in that order, they lived 900 years, they had children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. They had offspring. And those were the first souls created in all creation. And those are the souls that comprise and came through the family of Yaakov and the tribes of the Jewish people. They are the original root souls that multiplied and expanded and came through the Jewish family. The Jewish people are family. And the Jewish people have been chosen by Hashem to be the leaders and the light unto the nations. They were given God's laws through Moshe on Mount Sinai to follow his Torah and his laws and his blueprint of how to get this life right. And through doing so, they were to bring civilization and godliness into our world and be the example. That's who the Jewish people are. That's who the Jewish family is.
But that is the reason, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we are so, in quote, by the world, because we are the chosen people.
Okay. So the words chosen people, and we are the Jewish people, the Jewish family, the Jewish children are chosen by Hashem to lead. To lead what? To lead us all out of this chaos. We are to be the light and the teachers, and to teach people the knowledge that Hashem himself has given us on how to get this right.
That's Torah.
Yes.
The light.
Absolutely.
The water, the living water of life are Torah, are the Bible, are the five books of Moses.
And beyond.
In your conversation with God.
Yes.
Does he talk to you like a Jewish girl?
At first, I did not even know it was him for many weeks. I kept asking, who am I speaking with? And he wouldn't tell me. And he kept sprinkling ideas to me. And he would say things like, you're a Jewish girl. And I said, yes. Yeah. He said, you're not kosher. What a shame. And early on, he would encourage me to research being kosher or keeping Shabbat or following the law. But he didn't crack me over the head with it. But he'd sprinkle those ideas. But he also brought other ideas, Miriam, into my writings. I asked questions. I was a blank slate, pure. I just wanted the truth. And I would ask things like, religion, is it good? And to my surprise, he said, yes, religion is good. And I believe religion is the root of a lot of problems in this world. Wars are been fought in the name of religion.
Everything is the name of
religion. In the name of religion. But what he said was, and I asked, what, is there any one religion that is right? And to my surprise, he said, no. He said, it's a showcase for the world. Now, what do I mean by that? If you're going to get your back up and say, well, I'm Christian and I know I have it right, and I'm Islamic and I know I have it right, and I'm Jewish and I'm the chosen people and I know I have it right. What he's not saying is that religion is right. He's saying that Torah is right.
Okay, so if Torah
yeah.
is the blueprint
yeah.
for life.
Yeah.
And the Jewish people, his people, are supposed to be living by the rules and regulations of Torah.
Yes.
What if not Torah and the laws are we supposed to teach the world?
God's will.
Which is Torah.
Which is Torah. Here's where we went astray. The world.
Okay.
The world has gone astray. Well,
okay.
First of all, when I say Torah, the Christians accept the Torah as the Old Testament. So there is agreement there. So where we have to go to begin to find peace is where do we all agree? Not where we all are dividing. We need to start with, where do we agree? And the world agrees that the Jews received the Torah. The world agrees with that. The Christians agree with that. The Moshe went up the Mount Sinai and received the Torah, and they follow Torah in what they call the Old Testament. And the Muslims accept and believe that the Torah was given to Moshe and that it was from God. And they also believe that Yeshua, or Jesus, was a prophet of God as well. So there's a lot of agreement between all the major religions in the core of their beliefs, that there is one God and that Torah is his books, his laws.
You mean to tell me that the people who are fighting and killing and beheading and torturing in the name of Allah Akbar, okay, are people who believe that there is one God,
yeah,
and Moses is his
prophet. That is correct. And well, I want to blow your mind. If anybody's listening, I want to blow your mind. You have to understand that I don't know anything. I don't read the books that you read. I get all of my information from Hashem God. He tells me things that I can't possibly know. And then he'll say, look it up, Lori, and we'll learn together. He has told me that Moshe was his prophet. And he traveled with Moshe. And he taught Moshe, and Moshe taught the Jewish children.
But he took away, I mean, would you ask him this question?
Yeah.
Okay. What possible chance does a normal, regular kind of a human being
yes.
have to achieve what he's asking? For when all it took Moses, who was his prophet, who did all his work,
yeah.
who led his people, who did the building of his tabernacle, who followed every single movement and every single word and every single command that God gave him, except he hit the stone.
Oh, I have a whole story behind that.
And
I have
he
a whole...
doesn't get to go with the Jewish people into the Holy Land because he made a mistake. A human judgment, human error. Where do we have we?
Miriam, before we go into the sin of the rock and why Moshe wasn't allowed to go into Israel, I will answer that question. That's a major concealment beyond. And he told me it was. I read that parsha, and I told him, no way, and he said, you're right. And when I told the explanation to someone I know who studies Talmud, he said, you know, you're right, because that is another alternate interpretation of that parsha. I will get to it, but I don't want to make this all about Moshe. Let me get to Yeshua ben Yosef, who is also known as Jesus Christ. And okay, I'm going to make it really uncomfortable tonight. But Hashem says Moshe was his prophet, and he took his Torah, and he taught his Jewish children and the chosen people. He says that Jesus, his name was really Yeshua, and that's what Hashem calls Jesus, Yeshua. He doesn't call him Jesus. He calls him by his Hebrew name. And he says that Yeshua was a visionary and also his prophet. But he was even more than a prophet, Miriam. Hashem, God, says that Yeshua was his first Mashiach, to lead the way for the Mashiach that is supposed to come and heal our world for eternity. And he says, now I'm going to really upset the apple cart and spill them all on the ground. He says that Muhammad, the prophet, was also his prophet, not a Mashiach, but his loving prophet who spoke to him and taught his wisdom to the Islamic children. And it is that preparation, it is those three major religions that must come together now and understand that they're all praying to one Hashem God. There's not a God for Islam and a God for the Christians and a God for the Jews. There's one holy Hashem, master of the universe. And we're all praying to the one. Now, the Jews only accept Moshe as God's prophet. The Christians accept Moshe and Yeshua.
We have lots of prophets besides Moshe.
Well, I'm talking about the major religions, the major prophets, the ones that the beacon, the top dog, if you will. I'm talking in American colloquialism, but the top dogs. The one prophet that we get all of our wisdom from. So those three gentlemen were very important to Hashem. We have Moshe, who the Jewish people accept, the beloved Moshe and his teachings. And then we have Yeshua, who the Christian children accept and love, and Moshe, and they accept the Old Testament. And then we have the Islamic children who accept all three. So what is all the fighting about? We're all children of Hashem. We're all praying to Hashem, one God. And we're killing each other in the name of God or not. You know, the Jewish children, in all fairness, have never run a crusade around the world trying to convert people.
It's not part of what we do, the whole process of conversion. Somebody wants to become Jewish is extremely difficult, because who would want to be us in the first place?
It's very hard to be Jewish. Very hard.
Yes,
extremely.
It is.
Extremely. So the Jewish children are the only major religion that haven't, well, I don't know about, I'm not speaking of Buddhism and Hindu and all the other religions. I'm not speaking of those religions. I don't really know much about those at all.
What does Hashem say about this?
what he says about religion in and of itself is that there's wisdom everywhere, that everyone has wisdom. And what he wants to see happen is that we all gather into forums of learning and share our wisdom and get to the truth. Because mixed with a lot of the information that the religions are following and practicing are misguidance and things that are not true. And we can't afford any more in this day and age to get it wrong. We must get it right. We must find the truth.
And how do you find the truth?
With his help and his guidance and with collaboration with the books that you have access to, that you know, that you've poured through. We must bring them out, all the knowledge, all the wise people, and collaborate and communicate with Hashem and discuss what has been written and what does he really want from us.
This is the question. What does he want from us? And you explain what he wants from us. But when you go down just today's CNN, the Pope's visit to the Holocaust, and you to Auschwitz, and you read the comments that people write. You know what? There can only be Mashiach. There can't be a human to take everybody and all this evil that is perpetrated in the world and put it together, make nice, so we can all live in peace with each
other.
Okay,
first of all, I'm going to just come out and ask the question, who do you think Mashiach is?
Ask Hashem. Don't ask me. I'm not the one who has anything to do with that. It's Hashem's decision.
Okay.
It's Hashem's choice. It's Hashem's desire. It's Hashem's prophecy. It's Hashem's gift. It's Hashem's world. And he is the only one who will give and decide when and who is going to be Mashiach. There have been, as you mentioned, great prophets in the world. There have been extraordinary human beings that have contributed immensely to the good of the universe. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the author of the Kabbalah, the head of the great academy in heaven, all his companions, all his followers, the whole movement of the great, great, great rabbis in the world, sages in the world, prophets in the world.
Miriam.
Yes.
Okay. Moses was raised by Egyptians, albeit he was born a Jew. He wasn't raised Jewish, and he was out as a shepherd in the middle of nowhere when Hashem tapped him on the shoulder and said, Moshe. And Moshe was the greatest prophet of the Jewish people, of maybe of all time. Maybe. And then there was Yeshua, Ben Yosef, Jesus, who was known as a Baal Teshuvah. He was not raised religious. And then, so he wasn't a holy tzaddikim rabbi raised with knowledge of Torah, yada, yada, yada. And then you have Muhammad the prophet, who at 40 was awoken, somewhere in his 40s, I believe, and he was illiterate. He couldn't even read or write.
Rabbi Akiva, one of the great, great, great sages of Judaism, was a shepherd. He was converted.
Yes.
What does this have to do with anything?
It has to do with that the Jewish world is looking for Mashiach in the Hasidic and very observant circles. He has to be a righteous man who was raised on Torah, and they're going to miss the mark if they're not looking with Hashem's eyes. They're looking through their world's eyes, what Mashiach has to be. Mashiach has to be a man on a donkey. But what if Mashiach was a woman? Would the world accept a woman Mashiach? Would the world accept Hashem's Mashiach if they knew Hashem sent a woman to be Mashiach? Or would they run and pound their chest and pull their hair out and say, no, it cannot be. It cannot be. What would the world do? Would they ignore someone who's a woman? Who says, Hashem says, I am your Mashiach. Listen to me. I know what he has to say. He speaks to me. I see him. He sleeps with me. He washes my hair with me. He eats with me. He tells me everything. Would the world listen to a woman who says these things?
Are you asking me? I don't have an answer for that.
I have an answer. In this moment, I live, eat, breathe Hashem. I will do nothing without him. He does nothing without me. I see him. I wake up to visions. And just the other day, I woke up to a vision of a terrorist holding a bomb and standing near a nuclear reactor. That's what I wake up to. Hashem warning me that we're spinning out of control and the world needs to wake up. And I've been on YouTube for the past 3 to 4 weeks, and I've been posting on Facebook saying, listen to the voice of peace and conversations with God that I woke up 7+ years ago. He speaks to me, he shows me, he talks to me. And so far, 100 people have watched one of my videos. So I'm asking you again, if Hashem put Mashiach, female body, would anybody give her the time of day? Or would they say, no, 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 we don't want to listen to you. You are not what we want. What's the answer? I'm asking, is anybody listening? There's no phone calls coming in. It is Sunday evening in Israel. This has been publicized on Facebook. There have been 50+ thumbs saying, yes, we like the conversation with God.
Where's the thumb? It was very interesting when you told me that most, and you spoke about this last week in the show, that most of the people who gave you thumbs up were Muslim.
That's correct.
And how was it this week?
Oh, this week, about 90% are Islamic. 90% of the people who say, I like Voice of Peace conversations with God are Muslim, Arabic.
Why do you think that is?
I'll tell you what Hashem God says. He says the Arabic people, the Palestinian people, are in the most pain of all the people. The Arabic people are killing each other, not just us. Look at Syria. They're in pain, and they want peace. The challenge is they don't know the way to peace because our leadership is failing us. We have leaders that don't know how to lead. They don't know the way to peace. The way to peace is doing what we're doing now, but not talking to you and me, Mary. I'm just talking to each other. It's getting people to pick up that telephone and call us and ask us, what does God want from me? And every time you turn on the news, having your stomach do flip-flop like mine, that some other child has been murdered.
Oh, today there were again stories in Austin, Texas. Some guy in the in the commons in the house of the government started to shoot, killed one woman. Other two are in bad shape. There is complete and total. There is no more sense. Nothing makes sense anymore.
And that's where we have to begin. We need to make it make sense.
People have forgotten their humanity. Can you ask Hashem, what is a human being?
A human being is a spiritual piece of Hashem himself. And this is the most upsetting and deeply sad fact. I know Hashem. I know how wow amazing he is. And I know where you come from. I know what you're made of. I know what you come from. I know what you're made of. And you're not choosing to emanate in this world. Most people. Is that a call coming in?
Hello. Hello.
Hey, Miriam. This is Andrea. How you doing?
Oh, hello, Andrea. How are you?
Good.
I
was calling to ask, what can Christians, ordinary people like myself do? You know, I look on the TV every day, every week there's a killing, a shooting. If not in this country, somewhere else, and it's so disturbing. What does he say about that?
It is disturbing. And what we need to do is doing what you're doing now. We need to come together in a learning forum. You see, we need to learn right from the beginning. We have forgotten right from the beginning. Good morning, Hashem, God. Thank you for another day. You see, the world has forgotten him. We have forgotten where we come from. And I'm not saying you personally. You may remember when you wake up, but somewhere along your day, you get preoccupied. We all do. We have to pay our bills. We have to cook our dinner. And we forget to thank him. And we forget that he's real. And most of the world has forgotten. And in America in particular, God has been taken out of American society. And you're talking to someone who's not a Bible-toting fundamentalist. You're talking to a woman who is very secular and mainstream. And 7 years ago, I woke up to the voice of God himself. He's real. And what he wants you to do as Christians, as Jews, as human beings, is be the love and be the light that you're born to be. You're a piece of him. He is extraordinary and exquisite love. And the way to do that is to come together. I had created a charity called Running on Love, and that was the purpose of it. Without my ever knowing it, I created a charity not knowing that I was creating a platform for us all to gather together under the umbrella of love, to give to charity and to learn how to love each other as family, because we are family. We do not emanate from gorillas. Thank God.
Are you there?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you for that. I guess we all can contribute in our own way. It's so tough. It's so disheartening these days. It's the shootings and everywhere. And I don't understand how people can be so despondent with themselves to pack on suits of bombs to go and blow up gobs of people in themselves. I can't fathom that. I try to figure it out, but I can't. We have just integrated into something. I feel like we're Sodom and Gomorrah all over again.
Yes, it's exactly true. I can explain to you what happens. You see, you hear God yourself, but you also hear an alternate to him without realizing. You see, I hear Hashem God in language. In English, the only language I know, and you hear him as your own voice. It's concealed to you, but you also hear his alternate. It's called Yetzihara. It's called the evil inclination, and it's on purpose because it makes you choose God or his alternate. And until you awaken to your choices in every moment, that you're either choosing God or you're choosing the antithesis of God, you're going to choose incorrectly. And it mushrooms. It's like a big mushroom cloud, and people have forgotten how to choose the God within them. I don't know if that makes sense, but to you, yes.
Yes, yes, it does. It does. It's just, yeah. Thank you for,
some of us have a natural inclination to choose God, and we do it naturally. We haven't forgotten. Some people are born into this world, and your neshama, your soul, just knows God's real. And of course I'm going to choose God. But other souls are put into a body, and they forget. And they choose themselves, or they choose to give themselves physical pleasure, or they choose divisiveness or hatred. Because their souls are forgotten.
Andrea, let me ask you a question. We have to close. If a woman told you that the Messiah is a woman, would you accept that?
Yes.
You would.
I would. It wouldn't matter to me if it's a man or woman. A Messiah is a Messiah. As long as the purpose of what the Messiah is supposed to do or his message comes across, I don't care.
And what is the Messiah supposed to do according to what you know?
Well, you know, as Catholic, the Messiah has come into the world to forgive our sins and save us from, or remove our sins from us. That is what we've been taught, not necessarily what I personally believe about it.
Andrea, we have to close. That you called a little bit too late in the show.
Right.
9 seconds to go. So thank you so much for your call. And
is this the time that you will be on?
And this is the regular time that we'll be on now. So
okay.
Let me say goodbye to everybody. God bless. Please write to us. Please call us. Lori Michelle, Running on Love. Give and be generous. We all need to come together in love. God bless.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Bye.